Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Amerna Convergence 2020 live broadcast from here in Ojai, California. Day 8, Inspired Action. In a couple days, we're building up to our main meditation where we're going to be making contact with our star family. And so we thought it would be really relevant to bring some of the best experts in the field to come and talk with you about it. So, without further ado, I'm going to pass it on to Alan Steinfeld, who's going to be interviewing Dr. JJ and Dr. Desiree Hertek.
Patrick, it's great to be here on the Amerna Convergence 2020 because this is a turning point in history, and the thousands of people that have been watching around the world are being activated to a higher level of consciousness. So we're going to talk a little bit about that higher level of consciousness with my good friends and UFO experts, and I've also been in the field for 25 years. I just want to throw out a quote that might be appropriate for this time. The German philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer said, "Truth passes through three levels. First, it's ignored, then it's ridiculed, and then it's accepted as self-evident." Well, this harmonic convergence is for people who this truth is already self-evident, and we are bringing the rest of the planet along to wake up to the fact that we are part of a bigger cosmos. We're part of a bigger family. So I want to ask Dr. JJ and Dr. Desiree Hertek, let's talk about this bigger family, okay? And from your perspective, Dr. Hertek, you were at the first UFO conference in the 70s. You want to talk about the kind of perspective and the idea of this greater cosmos?
Yes, it's very important that we recognize that the first international UFO Congress was in Acapulco, Mexico, 1977, with Dr. J. Allen Hynek, Dr. Jacques Vallée, many of the leading experts from all over the world, including myself, dealing with actual contact experiences that have been identified by government people, experts, as well as anthropologists, social scientists, and people working with shamans or spiritual traditions that speak of other levels of cosmic intelligence.
But of course, it's just built up from there, and there's more and more evidence. I think probably the most amazing was the 2004 Nimitz experience, which is where literally U.S. Navy ships off the coast of Catalina Island, and that's San Diego, California, actually had 3 days of contact with these UFOs. And one day really where they were able to take the pictures. And as you know, Alan, this was released by first a kind of a private group, but then the Pentagon actually came out and said, yes, this is real film footage that the U.S. Navy has. So, I mean, there's really nothing to question the reality of other extraterrestrial intelligences in our midst.
That was a turning point when the New York Times on their front page of December 17, 2017 came out and says UFOs basically exist and the government has put $22 million into studying this. Of course, they didn't talk about all the other projects that are studying UFOs like Project Blue Book and the Yes, and there's been lots of secret government projects, but this was the first time in 2017 that they said, yes, they exist, and yes, we have footage of this. So there is a legacy here that's just now being cracked open, and that's why I think right now at this time, July 14th, World Contact Day, it's when enough people realize that there is this other evidence, this other interaction, that the whole world will start to say, of course, it is self-evident. We are being visited and we're part of something bigger. So JJ, why don't you talk about some of the beings that exist out there and some of the beings that we can call in on the night of the 14th?
Yes, I want to say that 2004 is very significant for me because in 1973, as a young professor, I had a spiritual contact experience, and I wrote a book called The Book of Knowledge, Keys of Enoch, which you may or may not see right on the screen. This book deals with 64 areas of science and psychology, more specific, it refers to the year 2004 as a turning point where we would recognize, according to the text, that there are other levels of cosmic intelligence.
Now, I have to come in and say, Alan, that, you know, people want to say, when are they going to land on the White House lawn? And, of course, this 2004 Nimitz experience and then 2014 on the East Coast of the United States, they also had contact with the Navy for almost a week on and off, for people were saying for almost a whole month. They were seeing and sighting and recording on film these other extraterrestrials. But we really think that they've kind of given up in a certain sense on going to the government. Maybe in 52 there was a possibility that they had contacted the government and they said, put away your weapons of war, you know, time to live together in peace is short, that type of thing, and the government was not willing to do that. So what we think, like many people who have talked on this program, is that they're actually going to go to the people. And that's what's important. When they come to the people and people have contact, we're right now in Sedona, Arizona, and we had friends coming in from out of state, never seen anything before, and they were staying late night over by Thunder Mountain, and they saw lights, very, very clear lights that could not have been a car, could not have been people, you know, flying, moving, all that type of stuff, and low enough to the ground that it wasn't something that was up in outer space.
So to address your question, Alan, we believe that there is a language of contact that's important here. That language deals with consciousness expansion and what is called multidimensionality, the realization that we are but one of many evolutions. We are one species of many species connected with the tree of life. And think of the cosmic as a great tree with many solar systems and star systems as branches or components of this greater tree of evolution. It's the use of a vocabulary of consciousness, self-realization, the use of sacred symbols or sacred geometries of reflecting on the interconnectedness of the energy forces of the universe, plus the heartbeat of the human watching and waiting for contact with the higher worlds that's important in this process of contact.
So actually just the last 2 months, scientists all over, especially in the United States, came up with the conclusion, this is from putting together the data of the billions and trillions of stars in our Milky Way alone, that they actually said there has to be at least 30, they're saying about 36, 38 different civilizations living in the Milky Way alone. This, you can go Google this. So they have confirmed in their own mathematical minds that there's no way in hell, I'll say, that we're the only civilization in this basic situation.
Well, that's self-evident to me, because there is so much life here on Earth. We cannot be the only planet that has life. You know, there was that saying by Arthur C. Clarke, either the universe is full of life or we're the only ones, but in either case, it's astonishing. But I go for the case that we are, the universe is abundant with life. The universe is pro-life, really. It's for the evolution of these life forms to carry our souls into the adventure of physicality.
So you were asking what types of life would be out there,
yes,
right?
I mean, that's not to make contact, yes.
Right, so we think that there's actually over 70 different extraterrestrial races, and they range from insectoids, right, praying mantis being one of those, to the grays. I think Dr. Jack has maybe an image of the grays, and these are mostly clone types of beings that, you know, they come out of the same cookie jar. Sometimes when people have actually seen them, they kind of turn their heads and walk kind of collectively. So there's like a consciousness linkage between them. They're kind of little soldiers in that sense. I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying the way the mentality is. You know, birds on this planet also seem to fly like that with a collective mentality. So that's something we're going to be talking about more. What is the mentality of these
but
beings?
Beyond the extraterrestrial, there's also what we call the ultra-terrestrial, those that are beyond the physical form, that are in the energy form. And some of you will recognize this in terms of this sphere of light that appeared inside a industrial set of offices in South Africa.
Orbs that appear on lots of people's digital cameras. They are light beings that are trying to make contact. But let's
right.
Back to the form making, because I think you touched upon it before, Dr. Duck, as consciousness, the expansion, telepathy. So if we're all out on July 14th looking at the sky, what kind of thoughts or awareness would we put out there into space? What do you think?
Well, we have to, first of all, recognize that we are transmitters of energy at all times. If we can focus on transmitting positive thoughts, generally, if we can put this in terms of a color like a golden light or a solid blue-violet color projection, it is easier to maintain our position as being senders and receivers of paraphysical signals.
Let me give you a story. Actually, I had a girlfriend many years ago who was doing an expedition in the area of the Bermuda Triangle, and she was in contact with these beings, and they told her things, they showed her things, and they said, you know, don't talk about it too much. This is back really in the early 70s. And then she was sitting in my friend's kitchen talking about this about 8 years later, and a shelf that had things on it literally flew up with bottles and everything off. And she says, oh, I was told not to talk about that. There is a communication, especially once you have contact, but even if you've never had contact, there is a communication linkage. Dr. Jack calls it an inductive linkage that you have with other levels of intelligence. If you see them, you have them. Even I think if you see them in a distance, there's this linkage situation, this telepathy that links together. They work, yes, they can talk, some of them can talk, but they all link by telepathy. So
in addition to what I just described with seeing your mind as a cosmic laser beam, a biological laser beam, there is a language of vibration. The ancients thought of holy mantras or sacred vibrations. I would simply call it a new cosmic syntax, where we realize that we need to energize that part of our mind, historically called the sixth or the seventh chakra or seal. Russell Targ, a great researcher in the paraphysical, has called the third eye. This whole area of the higher mind has to be activated with certain sounds, and we find that the sacred expressions used by the great traditions of the mystics.
Like even the Om, something that everyone's heard about and no one has any qualms about saying.
All can activate the energy resources of the body, mind, and spirit together. So it's the collective energy triplet of body, mind, and spirit working together as a laser beam that is the best situation of opening, as it were, the other dimensional levels of cosmic conversation.
But what we have to, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, if people have been watching this program, they know every morning it starts with Mark Sims doing meditation with you, the word for divine, you man. And when that sort of sets the vibration, everyone watching the following programs are sort of geared to that information coming into this receiver. So I think we're moving into a finer vibration as human beings, and this telepathy, this telepathic ability is becoming just a matter of fact gift for many people. So when we call on these beings, because the veils between the dimensions are thinner, they are here. These beings are in our presence now. We just have to become more aware of the world around us. We have to upgrade our human vehicle to be more sensitive, and that is part of making contact. So
right, and we're the Academy for Future Science. So if someone wants to know the science behind this, in quantum physics it's called entanglement and non-locality. So we've done research connected with those friends at Stanford Research Institute, where they were sitting in California, and they can literally go into areas of Russia or New Orleans. This is a book that we've come out with our colleague Elizabeth Rauscher. So, you know, our minds can be there. Our minds can see inside things that are locked cabinets. We can figure out where we left our keys, or we can figure out where our boyfriends or girlfriends are at any time.
This book is the real X-Files. It shows the government scientists have shown that mind-to-mind communication crosses space and time, and even beyond space and time. And so we are at a dramatic time in human history, recognizing there are cosmic powers in the universe that we can correspond with through the higher powers of consciousness expansion. And we have illustrated this in our work with great musicians and composers like Carlos Santana and Stephen Halpern. In fact, our music called Sacred Names, Sacred Codes, we recommend because we illustrate this through the historic mantras of the Middle East, the Hebrew Aramaic, and even the Coptic and Greek, of how certain sounds can activate the energy centers of the body and mind in synergy production.
So if we can put this together a little bit, then depending on the vibrations you put out, because we are biotransducers, that means we pick up on energies coming from what we call the consciousness field, and we also put energy into that field. That field can be in another universe if we wanted to, if we put that energy out. So the question is, what are we attracting? How best to attract, how best to make contact with the levels of intelligence that are here to help? And, you know, even though we do think the majority of the universe is good, you know, there's also energies out there that are not so good.
Experimental life forms.
Well, there's always neighborhoods you don't want to walk in, and it's about your vibration. So let me just ask you, though, don't you feel the vibration, though, of the human being is moving at a quickening rate, especially at this time of this crisis of the virus? Something shifted. There was a reality that sort of came online that kind of opened up our crown, corona crown, to some higher levels. And we are actually living in a different timeline altogether, which might make it easier to make contact. So everyone's becoming so much more sensitive that when you sit out there on the 14th and look at the sky, just feel the vibration and allow, maybe you could talk about this, allow the telepathic influences to come into your mind and don't doubt yourself. You had something to say about that, Desiree, about the telepathy and the online resources that humans have.
Well, absolutely. And first of all, I like what you're saying, because more and more people are getting more sensitized. We just have to be more and more accepting of it. You know, we talk all the time and we think that's the way to communicate. You know, there's only one way to communicate. When we see even animals, even cats and dogs like Rupert Sheldrake has shown, or extraterrestrials, it's thought pictures that come into your mind. Something the Keys of Enoch talked about. We actually constantly receive thought pictures. And we work with some younger people, and they often have dreams. They have dreams and experiences where they go to another planet, and they've experienced life on those other realms. We're getting closer to what the Keys of Enoch say is a space-time overlap. And that is where our reality starts overlapping with other levels of reality. And yes, I think people are waking up, but not everyone. So we have to be sensitized. We have to note the synchronicities in our life, because they're not always coming from what we're doing. They're coming from those who want to be here to help us.
The problem, Ellen, has been the separation of one side of the brain that's scientific from the other side of the spiritual. And now the two must come together in convergence. And you see behind Desiree's head one of the cosmograms, or cosmic pictures, one of our artists has put together, with the staircase on the left and right representing the different levels of the consciousness of the male and the female mindset coming together. In the center of the picture is the tree of life, the cosmic symbol of how there are energy points of which we converge and build upon. So it's the larger picture to think holistically, to think in positive energy forms, and then to realize that we have in all cultures basic phonemes and morphemes, or language codes, that can be used to energize all of the cultures of humanity to see unity and oneness in this great change that is now taking place. Namely, higher intelligence is reaching out to us, and we as biotransducers, or human vessels of sound and energy, can reach back.
Well, JJ, I'm glad you brought that up, because maybe people don't know, but in 1973, you were able to put together a sacred harmonic, and you sort of cracked open a doorway to another dimension. And I think that is coming for all of us. But do you mind talking a little bit about this doorway into the higher realms that you were able to activate? And of course, that's where the teachings of the Keys of Enoch came from. And there's beings and other beings on all those levels.
Yes, as a younger linguist and professor, I was looking for a way to reach out to the divine and to the cosmic intelligence that I felt in some levels did exist, and other levels one had to experience. And so I began to use the sacred names of God as seen in the great prophetic traditions, both East and West. And by combining the various expressions, with a musical intonation, having some musical background as a composer, I was able to reach a level where a morphogenetic door opened and light poured around my body, and I was taken literally physically and spiritually by biolocation into direct experience with higher intelligence. I can only describe this by showing this picture here of my work inside the Great Pyramid in Egypt in the 1990s. I was doing musical research, and I began to sing the sacred names of God, and suddenly the ascending passageway of the Great Pyramid lit up in golden energy. Suddenly, a standing columnar wave of energy appeared, and the whole Great Pyramid appeared as a vibratory sound chamber. So this is an illustration of what I believe to be a language of proto-communication built into the basic structure of our DNA.
And we also think this is sound frequencies are built into the temples throughout the world. Many of the temples in Mexico, many of the sacred areas in the Far East as well. These are sound chambers to activate that energy. But now we know in this day and age that we can create those sounds ourselves with vibrations, with thoughts, and we can reach into these higher realms. Now, in addition to what we were talking about, the insectoid, the grays, the Nordics, as some people call them, including the tall whites, other beings, there seems to be also what we would call these are the giants that someone had been able to record. There's also the extra-celestials, as we call them, or celestials, I think is more popularly called in this program, and also what we call the ultra-terrestrials. And these are beings in energy bodies. They don't necessarily need the three-dimensional vehicle, but they can materialize the three-dimensional vehicle if they want. They, as we said, they come like orbs if they need to, or they can materialize. It's all about consciousness. And our consciousness linked to their consciousness, they can materialize, they can manifest, as even UFOs can manifest right before our eyes.
So this is the very nature of the harmonic convergence. The harmonics is the activation of the music of the spheres in the 21st century. The convergence is the convergence of the human evolution with the higher evolution, the higher civilizations that want to share with us now information in science and spiritual psychology to bring us into a higher understanding that we have a destiny in space, we are part of an infinite pattern of evolution that doesn't stop with Mother Earth, and that there's a divine side, a deep spirituality that connects our soul or our higher consciousness with an ongoing process of evolution that doesn't stop with the three dimensions of life as it is normally taught in the books of science.
I think you're right, though. It's the harmonics. I mean, this is why we've spent 10 days or 8 days so far fine-tune this human vehicle with all the speakers that have come here and develop a harmony, a harmonics within the cells, within the thoughts, within the field itself. I mean, my hands are actually vibrating now. So we, as we've been watching this broadcast, are harmonizing and we're converging as a human species so we can reach these beings on their level. They're not coming down to us. When you talk to, not to put it crudely, when you talk to a dog, you don't bark at them. You know, you talk in the language of the higher consciousness, not that they're not higher, but they're talking to us in this language of higher consciousness, and we have to raise ourselves up and meet them on their level. And that's what the purpose of harmony and the convergence of harmony for the human race, I feel, is all about. And I think we'll be meeting beings that, yes, they're gray, yes, they're north, all that, but we're going to meet beings that no one has heard of, that are really beneficent beings that are going to appear to us that don't fit any textbook description, because we are actually going beyond the old history. We are creating a new mindset, a new paradigm for making contact. And the road has not been mapped. So what has everyone has said before now is great, it's history, and we're about to take a new page, go to a new realm, and start a whole new era of human cosmic interaction.
And I just want to add, also that, you know, I talked about the young people having their dreams and visions. I believe that some souls have actually come here to be here now, because this is a critical time of contact of that space-time overlap. But some of these beings are really from other planets originally. And I think the most shocking thing is not all the strange beings that might be out there. One would say something like the grays or little green men or something like that, or avatar blue beings, because there are blue beings as well. But to find us also on other planets, which means that we didn't exactly evolve only here. In fact, personally, we don't even think we evolved here. We think we were kind of came here to be part of this planetary system. So there's, and the reptilians were here before us. So we have a whole cosmology, which really seems to fit with the greater cosmology now that we're learning about the 21st century.
And young people have a very important place in all of this, to be the avant-garde of new change. And this is why our colleague Carlos Santana speaks about the universal tone that brings us together. We must go beyond the historic cultures and recognize there's a new frontier where we, shall we say, gather all of the tribes or cultural traditions through a tribe of peace, those who have the inner peace and the spiritual vision of the Christ nature of life, or what is called the prophetic understanding of both the science as well as the divine plan of evolution. And this is illustrated in our book, The Keys of Enoch, which Carlos Santana used as the basis for his music called Supernatural. So we make a request to all of you to be really prepared for new music that will come even out of the archives of the late Alice Coltrane in her music dealing with the sacred names of ascension. All of these leading artists recognize we are at a very valuable changing point of going from negativity to positive change, but this must come through the vibration and harmonics of our spiritual soul, our inner nature, our consciousness that is re-understood as multidimensional as well as co-creative.
And you know, we talked about the fact of telepathy, that beings, these other extraterrestrials or ultra-terrestrials, can tune into our frequencies and we can tap in, and that's making contact. Of course, we have to be open-minded. That's the first and foremost thing. People want steps to doing things. First thing is be open-minded, know that these other intelligences exist. Second, put off the thought forms to reach the highest levels and say what you're going to do with it. What are you going to do if you see them? Are you just going to say, I'm going to tell all my friends about it because I'm a great guy now, I saw an extraterrestrial? Or is there something that you can really do in your personal life or helping others
such as
with that?
The gift of compassion, the gift of unconditional love, the gift of wisdom and knowledge that is shared universally. We're at a point now where we can suddenly realize we have the potential to be cosmic citizens.
And we can actually try to work to improve the planet, because the planet's not doing that good, I have to tell everyone.
There's one more thing I wanted to add about all those things. It's as a matter of dropping into oneself. I don't think people do this enough. They're on social media, they're looking at this, but there's a place where we can drop into a stillness and a silent place in ourselves. The ancient Greeks called that incubation, where you find the still place, and in that place is it's a sort of center of the universe right there. So I think this inward journey is as great as the outward journey, and somewhere the two meet. So when you find that stillness, that place, that's where the answers to the universe exist. They're out there, but they're also in here, because we're part of forever, part of creation.
Right, because ultimately that is what meditation is. I know people like the Zen meditation where you empty your mind and there's nothing there. But ultimately it is going within and bringing that energy without.
Into fullness.
But it's actually receiving information. It's knowing what your next step is going to be. And believe me, if you're in contact with some of the higher levels of intelligence, they will protect you on all levels. And that's so important during this COVID crisis, that you are in the right place at the right time, or you have an awareness not to go in this direction, but to go in that direction. That's the type of energy that we're really talking about ultimately. But the extraterrestrials are also here to help and to give information to us. A lot of them, as you know, Alan, are telling about the environment, the planet, that we need to have more care for the sacred areas of the zone. That's what the Indians of the planet, the Indian indigenous people, Native Americans are saying as well. But we also have to be more consciously aware. And that's one of the benefits from not being outside so much recently. The animals, the plants, the bees, everything has come back. This planet really needs our help. We all have to be active in sharing and doing something positive.
And the ancient Greeks had this word, Alan, also called metanoia, or inner conversion. It's the ability to go into our innermost nature and to convert it to a higher pathway of life, to take the higher path, and to realize we have a chance, really, as energy transducers, to reach out and receive this greater superluminal light and use it as we see in our documents. So this is just the beginning stage of a mass transformation process.
Right. So when you make contact, the question is, you know, what is that information? Well, Dr. Hurtek came back with an incredibly large, I think 650-page book about what he saw past, present, and future about this planet.
Including the year 2004 of change, which he saw not only in the United States archives, but also in our work with the Mexican government.
But many people get an understanding of how to help their family, how to new technologies, whether it's energy technology or, like I said, saving the earth in some ways. You know, you have to be open to that, though. That's the important thing. Be open to the information.
I'll throw in one more point because you talked about the earth environment. Nuclear energy, there's lots of UFOs around nuclear power plants. They shut off nuclear missile silos. They first appeared in 1947 in Roswell, where the early atomic bombs were. So there's something about atomic energy which I feel cracks a hole in time space, the kind of time space continuum. And you know, it's not just us that affects, it affects the whole universe because we're all connected as a grid. So that's one point. I also wanted to throw out the idea that I talk to a lot of spiritual people in the field. I interview a lot of teachers, big names, and they're not so interested in the UFO. One of the major teachers said, well, what do I need to care about that? What, my consciousness is everything. And I think they're missing the fact that the universe just got bigger. If your consciousness is a part of everything, yes, but if you're not aware of the cosmic family out there, you're just focused on a very small aspect of consciousness. And by expanding our minds into other realms, into other beings, we expand who we are as human beings. And I think that is the most important part of making contact, is that we are no longer limited by the dogmas of religion and media and politics and family. We can start to open up and realize the greater humanity because it's waiting for us in potential.
And that's why we need to go beyond the left wing and right wing into the up wing, or the angelic dimensions of cosmic intelligence, because we see the coming of a higher level of intelligence that we need to go beyond the old sciences of politics and electromagnetism and into the new science of where we have, as it were, the power of consciousness, mind over matter, the consciousness of paraphysics, and the high idea of a whole new, shall we say, biology, that we are part of a much larger family.
Right, so I said Dr. Hurtek, in his experience, in his contact, which was with a higher level of intelligence, a light being, actually we call ultra-terrestrial intelligence, but they gave him past, present, and future, but they also said that 64 areas of science would be made to take a quantum leap. This is from 1973 till now, and this is what's happened. So, you know, you can find your own space and feel good about yourself and find that infinite wisdom within you, but as you said, as you go without, you have to realize there is this consciousness field. I know, Alan, I love where you say looking for the consciousness field inside of your head is like looking for the radio announcer inside of a radio. He's coming from the greater field. But the idea is that in the field, it's not just, you know, people talk about the consciousness field. They think, okay, it's all of our fields, people of us on the planet coming together. But it's also the plants and the animals coming together. And then when you expand that, it's all the extraterrestrials coming together.
Interspecies communication, the keys of Enoch speak about DNA linguistics. They speak of zero-point energy. This was already in 1973. Great breakthroughs would come and a quantum change would take place.
But the consciousness field is also the universal mind. So yeah, you can bring that energy to you, or you can tap into that universal mind, knowing where it's coming from. And it's important that we know the different levels and realities that are out there.
You see, I think that was the importance of the Mayan calendar. The first harmonic convergence was the celebration of the ending of the nine hells, nine 52-year cycles that began. When did that begin? The invasion of Cortez, 1619, ended in 1987. And then for 25 years, the human family was set to kind of correct itself. And in 2012, we were set to go into a new direction. Well, that didn't happen, but maybe it's happening now. But I think what the Mayans did is notice that we weren't just a solar family, we're part of a galactic grid. And so the field you're talking about on 2012 opened up to the galactic grid that we're part of. And now we're opening up to the multiverse and the multi-levels. And like the being Tejbar, who Mark met, he was no longer of this plane. So he came to Mark and he's helped to move the field of human consciousness to those higher dimensions. And that's the greater field we're moving into. That's your work too. Keys of Enoch.
Yes, and also our work with Elizabeth Rauscher, because she says that our mind is automatically functioning in the eighth dimension. So that's where time is limitless. That's why people have deja vu experiences. So when beings are operating the eighth dimension, and we would say even up to the 24 dimensions, they can know past, present, and future. They can see events and know what's going to be taking place. Now, usually it's not very far into the future because there is free will, but they can know events that are taking place in the near future. So it's important to realize the space-time overlap that we're going to be experiencing, we're in the midst of experiencing today even, is also allowing us to know things past, present, and future.
So this is the overlap between the fifth dimension and the third dimension, time being the fourth dimension. It's the overlap of going from humankind to space kind and being prepared to be cosmic citizens where we'll be living with other planetary societies. We'll forge a scientific civilization that has the spiritual endowments we will call the higher Christ nature or the Buddha-like nature of self-realization. But we all understood the fatherhood or the universal mind as one of compassion and indwelling wisdom that keeps all life connected with the cosmic law.
Right. So I want people watching this to honor their minds, honor their sense impression. If you're getting a thought, trust that. I mean, psychology has done a great service for us, but it's also made us doubt ourselves. And I think we're at the next point in evolution where we can transcend the old human dramas and see this great brain of ours as a huge cosmic receiver. And as new parts start to open up, we're going to get new downloads. And this is going to be the activation of the greater humanity. I call it the flowering of humanity. So as we trust these impressions, we can put it into our art, we can put it into our music, we can put it into our storytelling, because we are shifting gears. And this whole crisis is about the clutch going down and going from 3D or 4D to 5D, not 5G, 5D, fifth dimension. The 5G is trying to stop it, but we are going to the fifth gear here, and we are opening up and we're awakening to a new humanity. That's what Mary said.
If I can say one other thing, though, one of the points that is important in contact is whether it's taking place with a light being, which we've seen many times that manifests before you in your room, in your bedroom, wherever you are, maybe sometimes even in your car. Here's a picture of the light that appeared with Dr. Hertak. Or if it's a UFO, because we've also seen what we call light ships that manifest as well, don't be afraid.
But the word basically is Merkabah, which means spiritual vehicle, because UFOs can generally be physical technologies without spiritual inspiration. I'm showing in the context of a pyramid system in Tulum, Mexico, where I was chanting the ancient Hebrew Aramaic names of God, and suddenly the light began to change, and a light manifested around my body that was very clear, as you could see here. A man was taking a picture of his wife in the foreground and suddenly captured this in a minute, a fraction of a minute. And we were able to see and sustain this briefly because of the music, the collective energy, the vibration. So it's important for young people to learn to energize with new music and to understand what is being done and breaking, as it were, the quietude of simply keeping shut and keeping looking back in terms of a three-dimensional cloistered existence. No, we need a public gathering to raise the bar, to raise the vibratory level, and working more with the fifth dimension through music, visualization, sacred geometry, and I would say the sacred networking of humanity across the world.
But I want to emphasize, don't be afraid, because the reality of these other beings, whether it's materializations or, you know, vehicles bigger than a huge football field, maybe even the size of certain small cities, appearing in your midst, it's a shock. It's a real shock to the system. Mm-hmm. But you have to be able to be strong, and you have to know that they're here. Most of them are here to help us, and they want to make themselves known to the people. Because
I just want to say one more thing, that they're equal to us. There's nothing to fear, because they are not greater than us. And I think these 10 days are about preparing us to meet these beings on level ground, on equal partnership. So trust who you are, open up your mind to the greater realities. And when the light starts to change, when you start to hear sounds, when the vibration starts to shift, you're making contact. And trust that. Nothing's going to hurt you. You are the God force, just like those beings. So we have to honor ourselves as who we are as a human race.
And Alan has a new book coming out next year called Making Contact. We're part of that, and it's a great thing. I'm so happy that's moving forward for everyone. But I also want to say,
St. Martin's Press is publishing a book called Making Contact, where I've collected essays from a lot of the leading thinkers in the field, Linda Moulton Howe, Grant Cameron, Whitley Strieber. I even got an essay from John Mack there from it that was never.
We worked with John in Africa when he had this opportunity to actually document young children in the schoolyard in Zimbabwe who had a contact visually with many visitors from another dimensional world.
So I just want to go off with what Alan was saying. We feel actually just entertaining ourselves for a short time on this planet, that we at our heart center and our soul center are really what we would call light beings. We have a higher over-self, and that's what makes us equal to every extraterrestrial being of intelligence.
We are. We're not physical beings. Yes, we have a body, and it's a beautiful creation. This is our earth body, and we're here to ascend it into light, to become a star in a way, to raise the vibration of the biophotonic potentials in our cells and lift the earth up to the greater levels. I think...
Yes, the human mind is a natural cosmophysical event. We are here either to see life as a game or a gift. When we go beyond the games of self-aggrandizement, we begin to serve and to love greater humanity. And then life becomes the gift of sharing the divine spark of life, the God spark of realizing the potential that we all have, not only for this world, but the world potentially that is there for us to enter into if we put away the old isms that have divided us, that have separated us, that have failed to understand, shall we say, in our own consciousness, the development and the challenge of going from schoolhouse Mother Earth to the cosmic university.
And then you see how we're really all one coming from the other dimension. We choose the body, we choose the life space, we choose the time. And many of us have chosen this important time to be here now.
It's the greatest time to be alive.
And something out of this conversation, we threw a lot of information out. Take the parts that have landed in you and work with them. Use them these last 8 days and two more to go. Use them to change who you are, how you think. Open up to new realities, which happens to be the name of my YouTube channel. But open up to those levels, because we are becoming a new species. And this has been a miraculous time. A happy Mark put this out there. When I first heard about the harmonic convergence, I said, oh, that happened three years ago, actually. But now it's so important that we had this time together so we could bring in new information and expose it to a much wider public. I think Patrick has something to say to us, right? Patrick? Are you right? For us, we can keep going. We can go on for days.
I wanted to say to our audience worldwide that this is one of the pictures that represents the ultra-terrestrial dimensions. It is a picture from one of my students in Argentina of the Cosmic Christ. And there around his face, his head, are the names of the divine and the vibrations of the four sacred letters of Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh. This has been one of the most sacred vibrations that we've used in opening up the mind and energy of people throughout the world through the higher vibratory language of self-realization, of partnership with the higher worlds.
I just wanted to add one more thing about making contact that you brought up, because sometimes when I'm in meditation or even just sitting, I will hear a high-pitched sound and it's not quite audible, but I'm hearing it. It just like kind of moves through me as if there's like some presence here and then it's gone. But when I hear that, I know that I'm shifting frequencies, and I just acknowledge that and stay open to what kind of download information might be coming. But that is going to be happening more orbs. The whole invasion of the orbs began in the 1990s when people had digital phones and things would appear. These are interactions with other dimensions. Not always, sometimes they're light flares, sometimes they're dust, but a lot of cases they are interacting with us. So we need, as the Hertogs were saying, to develop a higher awareness through frequency and sound and vibration and telepathy. And I say creativity, because this is really the currency for the future. It's not going to be money, it's going to be creativity. And I think all of us have that potential. And the more creative we are, the more we add to the evolution of this culture and the ongoing awakening of the future. So,
very well said. We're close to understanding that the human family is being prepared to join the divine family. And we're being given now evidence of advanced planetary nations that have gone beyond our quagmire in space, have mastered through hyperspace travel our limitations of being confined to Mother Earth. We have come into the realization that the biological textbooks have to be rewritten. We're not the only species of intelligent life. There are multitudes. And we've come also to the realization of the ancient scriptures we call the Lost Scriptures of the Dead Sea Scrolls in Israel, the Nag Hammadi Coptic text in Egypt, for example, that there are multiple worlds or heavens that we are to prepare ourselves for. In fact, the Hebrew word for heaven is shamayim, meaning many worlds, many heavens. So we have to see this coming event as a graduation into cosmic citizenship. And all of our young people have a very vital role in this.
This is a very exciting time. We are shifting, and the work from ancient civilizations to the cosmic future is creating a new awakening. So I'm glad everyone is listening to this, because we're all waking up. And like